I want to look this morning at a sermon I've entitled Redeeming the Time. And if you go to the book of Romans, I'm going to read there from chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. It says there, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfil its lusts." Many of you this morning who are here are probably old enough to remember an old Pink Floyd album, Dark Side of the Moon. And there's a song on there called Time. And the lyrics say this: "You are young and life is long, and there is time to kill today. And then one day you find 10 years have got behind you. No one told you when to run, you missed the starting gun. And you run and you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. Every year is getting shorter, never seem to find the time." You know, we all have a limited amount of time on this earth, and it goes quickly, doesn't it, without us even noticing, especially as we get older. It's a limited commodity, and each of us here today has a limited amount of time, and we don't know how much we've got. But every day we spend it, don't we? We use it and we exhaust it. And whether we like it or not, one day we're going to run out of it. Time is precious. Time is valuable. I remember an old film, you probably remember it, called Papillon. And there was an actor in it, Steve McQueen, I think. And he has a dream where he's in a desert and he's walking up to this panel of judges and his life is getting judged and they find him guilty. And what they charge him with is being guilty of the crime of a wasted life. And what an indictment on someone's life to be guilty of a wasted life. So how much of this precious commodity of time do we waste? The thing with time is you can either use it productively or you can waste it. And whether we like it or not, every one of us here only has an allotted amount of it. And one day it is going to come to an end, and we're all going to die. And whether we like it or not, this morning, every single one of us in here is mortal. And unless the rapture happens beforehand, we're all going to have to face death. And it's a subject that we don't like to think about too often. It's a taboo subject in our society. But especially as you get older, you realise that death is, in reality, only round the corner. And it's something that we're all going to have to face. The Grim Reaper, in effect, is coming for us all, isn't he? But in the Bible, it says it's an appointed time. It's a time appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. In reality, one day we are going to expire, and the time that we have on this earth is short. In the Bible, it speaks about it like a vapour. James 4, 13 to 16 says this: "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." Life is fleeting, isn't it? And what we do in this life, you know, we can either waste the time that we've been given on vanity, on futile endeavours, on empty pleasures, on vain ambitions, on living life just for the here and now, or we can use our time wisely in pursuit of God. For that is our purpose, isn't it, for being here? If you want to know what our purpose in life is for being here in this short time that we have on this earth, it is to find God, to know God, and to obey God. And that's the conclusion of the matter that it tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13 to 14. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." We're here to find, to know, and to obey God. And a lot of people waste their time doing other things that are more important in their time. And not many people make time for God in their lives. God is a second thought. God becomes quite simply an afterthought for them. They may have some religion. They may go to church to appease their conscience. But they won't let God change them or take up more time in their lives than is convenient. They give God the crumbs. And if our time on this earth is a banquet, a lot of people only give God the leftovers and the crumbs that fall to the floor. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." See, our time needs to be prioritised, doesn't it, for God? We need to make time for God in our lives, because at the end of our life, when we do get judged, we're going to be judged on what we've done with the time we've had here. Have we trusted and put our faith and our life and our hope in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have we wasted our time here in pursuit of our own ambitions? John 12:25, Jesus said, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Our time on this earth needs to be spent pursuing God. In the scripture, it tells us about those who become unfruitful because the cares of this life choke out the word. And that's another thing that can waste our time. We get caught up in the cares and the concerns of this life, and it makes us take our eyes off God. God starts to take a second place to the worries and the concerns of everyday life. And, you know, I ask us all this question this morning: what is taking up most of our time? Is it the cares of this life? Is it the concerns of this life? Is it the pleasures of this life? Is it the vanities of this life? Or are we making time for God? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And I've used this example many times in sermons over the years, but do you remember Martha and Mary? But it's still as poignant today as it has in any other time. Martha was busy and she was distracted with much serving. And, you know, there is a time when we need to serve. But Mary chose, it says, the better portion, choosing instead to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. Jesus said she had chosen the better portion. And it's far more important that we spend our time at Jesus' feet and getting caught up in the cares of this life. I'm not saying we don't have practical things to deal with in life. But they can be a distraction if they take us away from sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his word. I'm not saying there aren't concerns and worries and cares, but what do we do with those worries and concerns? Do we bring them to the Lord daily? Do we trust in the Lord with all our heart and soul and lean not to our own understanding? Or do we go around fretting and anxious or stressed, to use the modern word, worried about everything, and we decide that we're going to put God to one side while we sort out the problems? Because the danger is that the cares of this world can choke out the word of God. Our time needs to be used wisely. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. In John chapter 15, he says that he is the vine, we are the branches, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine. And every branch that doesn't bear fruit gets burnt in the fire. And there's a lot of people who start off as branches in the Lord, connected to the vine, but then they disconnect themselves from the vine and they become unfruitful. But only those that bear fruit are going to remain. If we don't make God our priority day by day, we will eventually fall away or wither on the vine. And if you're not saved this morning, perhaps you've been spending your time on pleasures, careers, comfort of this life, in pursuit of worldly ambitions. And you might be a good and a caring person. You might be a person who is generous and not mean-spirited. You might be a person who's friendly. But if you haven't got Christ, then without him you won't have an entrance supplied to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." He is the door. He is the way. There's no other way. Anybody that offers another way is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we can fill our lives with many distractions, can't we? And many plans. But unless God is at the centre, we're living futile lives with no purpose. I don't know about you, but as you get older, time seems to fly quicker. The years come and go in a flash. Think about the last 5 years of quickly how that's gone. Can you remember what you was up to in 2018? It wasn't that long ago, was it? But you know, the average person only gets 14 to 20 of those little 5 year blocks in their whole life. It's not long, is it, really? And when you think, you know, when you're young, you think your life's going to go on forever. Old age seems a long, long way off. But before you know it, you're well on the way. But it's better that we find God in our youth, isn't it, than in later life. You can't gamble with eternity. You know, most people who put off repentance until the deathbed generally die before then, when it's too late. Most don't make it to midnight, they die at 11:55. Ecclesiastes 12:1-8 says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity." You know, it's better to live your life in this evil world knowing God than being in it, and being in his will, than wait until the end of your life and then miss the train, so to speak. Our life is short and futile without God, and it passes us by quickly. And, you know, we see the day approaching, don't we? Yes. You know, when you look out the world now, you see all that's happening, and you can see more and more how the barriers that once separated nations and tribes are getting torn down in order to usher in that one world government. You can see, without even being a conspiracy theorist this morning, you can see big organisations like the World Health Organization, Economic Forum, United Nations, you know, with an agenda to try and bring about a global government. You can see it going on, and digital identification, things that 20 to 30 years ago you'd have never thought could happen. The technology is there now for a cashless society. You know, they're already talking, aren't they, about central bank digital currencies and global identifications. You know, and lo and behold, before we know it, when the Antichrist does come, everything's going to be in place to bring about this world system, the mark of the beast, one world religion, one world government under the Antichrist. And the fact that we can even see these things beginning to happen, things that 20 years ago we never would have thought would have come about so quickly, makes me think we must be getting close to that time when the Lord will return. And one thing is certain this morning, no one knows the day or the hour, but it's clearly now, as our scripture said, that we're closer now than when we first believed. And for the Christian, that's a good thing. That means that we're going home. That means we're going home to be with the Lord, which is our ultimate purpose, isn't it? To spend eternity with God. And there won't be any limits then on time, thank goodness, because we'll be with the Lord forever. But between now and then, we have a limited amount of time. And if we don't use it wisely, if we don't spend it in pursuit of God, If we don't make time for God and we only make time for ourselves, then we're the ones that are going to be robbed. We're the ones that are going to lose out, possibly of an eternity, if we don't get it right. So again, we ask us this morning, what are we doing with our time? What's our priority? Is it ourselves? Is it our comforts? Is it our pleasures, our plans? And let's not take this out of balance. I'm not saying we can't have any enjoyment in life. The Bible says there is enjoyment in life, that God gives us all these things for our enjoyment, but it must not be at the expense of our relationship with Him. Because all the things that you and I enjoy, legitimate things, are provided only by His grace. And what God gives, He can also take away. We have to remember that God is the source of all the blessings that we enjoy. The greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. That tells us that God needs to consume our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, that we worship Him for who He is. He's God Almighty. He's the Creator. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And, you know, I put a clip on the chat the other week, that an old sermon from a guy called S.M. Lockridge, that's my king. The question for us is God our king? Because if He is, we'll serve Him as king and as Lord. Our God is the God of time. He is the God who was and is to come. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega, the author and finisher of our faith. It's God who created time. It's God who started time. And it's God who will finish time. And what we do with the time God's given us needs to be used with Him at the centre, and using our time wisely and not waste it on this earth. We need to use our time in pursuit of God. We need to put Him first before all of our vanity and pride. Love Him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And you know, if you're not saved this morning and you don't know where you're going to wake up tomorrow, whether you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, you don't know how many days you've got left on this earth, how many breaths you've got left to breathe, how many heartbeats you've got left to beat. People die all the time unexpectedly. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And many think, oh, I'll get saved later when I'm older. But you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible about a man who thought to himself he was going to be a wealthy man. Luke 12, 15 to 21. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, this guy thought to himself, I'm going to expand, I'm going to build bigger barns. But God said to him that night, you're a fool, I'm going to require your soul. He wasn't rich towards God. We have to realise our life is in God's hands. And we can make all the plans in the world. But if God isn't our priority in life, if we're living just for ourselves, if we're not rich towards God, God has a way of scuppering the plans of men and bringing them to an abrupt halt, as He did with this guy. James told us we should have that attitude. In James 4:15, he says, which we've just read before, if instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Psalm 39:4 says, Lord, let me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, and we should be living each day as though it's our last, because one day it'll be true. Ephesians 5:15-18 says, look carefully then, how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The scripture says to make the best use of the time, or to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Well, the days are evil indeed, aren't they? And we need to make the best use of the time. Colossians 4 verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So again, scripture tells us to make the best use of or redeem that time, in both in how we conduct ourselves in godliness and in righteousness, how we interact with the world out there, walking in wisdom, it says, towards outsiders, speaking with grace, seasoned with salt. We're called to be light and salt in the world. Our mission is to win souls and reach the lost. The fields, it says, are white unto harvest, but it tells us in the scripture that the labourers are few. We need to sow and to plant the word of God, and hopefully by God's grace we'll reap a harvest. One sows another plant, but God gives the increase. See, we won't be doing this if we're wasting the precious time allotted to us by the Lord. Our time is limited. We need to invest it into the kingdom of God. We need to make each day count and live in the will of God, so that when we come to the end, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when our time comes. Luke 14, 16 to 24 says, "But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lane and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Many people make excuses for why they can't find time for God in their life. But Jesus warned us, those who love their lives in this world will lose them. Only those that hearken to the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, only those that would be willing to follow after Christ will be counted worthy to attend that great banquet. Luke 9, 57 to 62 says, "As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' To another he said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Yet another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home.' Jesus said to him, 'No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" To give God our time means to be willing to forsake all. You know, those words in that scripture we just read show a divided loyalty. If you notice, he said, "But let me first." And that is, you know, is that what we say to God when he says, "Follow me"? "But let me first. I will serve you, Lord, but let me first achieve my dreams. Let me first make some money. Let me first find a new husband or wife. Let me first get my career sorted. Let me first get a house or land or whatever." 100 other reasons that are excuses that people make. But Jesus warned that those who look back are not fit for the kingdom. If you put your hand to the plough, you cannot look back, can you? "Let the dead bury the dead," Jesus said. "Go follow, come follow me." In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible tells us that now is the day of salvation. It says, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favourable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. To the unsaved, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, don't waste the opportunities God gives you to be reconciled to him. Now is the day of salvation. It's not something to be put off, is it, for another day? God wants to redeem you. By his grace, he wants to save you. And don't waste the short time you have in this life running away from God, doing your own thing, living for the here and now. Well, think of eternity. Think of Jesus who died on the cross so that you could be forgiven and saved. And don't spend your time on this earth pursuing just vanity and pleasure, but be reconciled to God. And to those who are saved, we need to use the time we have wisely, allowing God to shape our lives, to purify us from all unrighteousness and perfect us in holiness and godliness, and make us profitable servants who can be salt and light in what is a dark and dying and wicked world. Amen. 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 Let's pray.